The following is a class given by His Holiness Jaya Bhataka Swami on January 24th, 1995 in Bangalore, Karnataka, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 1, Verse 27.
Saivam Vartamano Gyo Mityu Kala Upastite Matin Chakara Tanaye Bale Narayana Vahe Saivam Vartamano Gyo Mityu Kala Upastite Matin chakara tanaye Bale Narayana Vaye.
Translation. When the time of death arrived for the foolish Ajamila, he began thinking exclusively of his son Narayana. When the time of death arrived for the foolish Ajamila, he began thinking exclusively of his son Narayana. Report. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 2.16, Sukadeva Goswami says, Etavan Sankhya Yoga Bhyang Swadharma Parinishtaya Janmalabha Parapunsa Ante Narayana Smriti. Translation. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by acquirement of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of one's occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. Unquote. Somehow or other, Ajamila consciously or unconsciously chanted the name of Narayana at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti. And therefore he became all perfect simply by concentrating his mind on the name of Narayana. It may also be concluded that Ajamila, who was the son of a Brahmana, was accustomed to worshipping Narayana in his youth, because in every Brahmana's house there is worship of the Narayana Shila. This system is still present in India. In a rigid Brahmana's house, there is Narayana Shila. Worship of Narayana. Therefore, although the contaminated Ajamila was calling for his son by concentrating his mind on the holy name of Narayana, he remembered the Narayana he had faithfully worshipped in his youth. In this regard, Srila Sridhara Swami expressed his verdict as follows. Etachcha tat upalala nadhi sri Narayana namo charana Mahatmyena tad bhaktir evabhut iti siddhanto payoghitvenapi drashtabhyam. Translation. According to the Bhakti Siddhanta, it is to be analyzed that because Ajamila constantly chanted his son's name, Narayana,
Narayana,
he was elevated to the platform of bhakti, although he did not know it. Unquote. Similarly, Sila Vira Raghava Acharya gives this opinion, Evang Vartamana Swa Sa Dvija Mrityu Kale Upastite Satyagyo Narayanakye Putra Eva Mating Chakara Mating Asaktam Akarot Ityartaha. Translation. Although at the time of death he was chanting the name of his son, he nevertheless concentrated his mind upon the holy name of Narayana.
Narayana.
Unquote. Srila Vijaya Dvaja Tirtha gives a similar opinion. Mityukale Deha Viyoga Lakshana Kale Mityo Sarva Dosha Papa Harasya Hare Anugrahat Kale Datta Gyana Lakshane Upastite Hridi Prakashite Thanaye Purna Gyane Bale Panchavarsha Kalpe Pradesha Matre Narayanalhaye Murti Vishesha Mating Smarana Samarthang Chitam Chakara Bhaktyasmarot Ityartha. Bhaktyasmarat Ityartha. Directly or indirectly, Ajamila factually remembered Narayana,
Narayana
at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti.
Sai
Krishna Balarama. So, thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 27, in the matter of the history of the life of Ajamila. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's very, very important, as we can see, to always go on chanting the holy names. Ajamila kept calling his son, even accidentally calling the holy names, he got so much blessing. So as I mentioned yesterday, how important it is to consciously chant. Unfortunately, people are saying, I can't chant now. Let me chant when I get old. Now I have to watch TV. We're discussing how actually now TV and all the new channels is a new thing for India. So people are getting infatuated. But already in the West, people are somewhat fed up with so much TV. They limit. They actually have a, they limit. So much only you can watch TV to the you first finish your study, then they'll limit. In many places they've already they turned off the TV. I just read in a paper a few days ago in Bombay, somebody was watching TV and all of a sudden the father got angry, opened up the window and just threw the TV set out the high rise. When everyone heard the crash, they all looked out the window and saw the TV. All of a sudden, one after another, they all started tossing. Within 1 hour, there was 287 TVs smashed. After that, they said now they could relate with the neighbors as human beings. They could hear the children playing. Otherwise, before, everyone was glued to the TV set. This is called boob tube. Or idiot tube, in common parlance, in the West, it stops the brain from working if you watch too much of these programs. So much violence they're showing, and sinful activities in the movies that constantly people are getting subjected. So they're finding that the crime rate is going up because of all these things. So many problems. So here we're giving a positive alternative or Jamila is showed that by regularly chanting the name of Narayana, he got the blessing. Now Lord Shiva and Vishnu and Shiva Puran, he explains that if you do a Sahasranam of Narayana Vishnu, that's equal to one name of Ram. And if you do 3,000 Sahasranam, it's equal to one name of Krishna. So by chanting Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna
Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama
Rama,
Hare Hare. So it's so many, like 48,000 names of Vishnu. We just chanted 48 times. You can say the Sahasranam by one Hare Krishna mantra. Something like that. Anyway, whatever calculation is very effective. Means, of course, he read this morning, Madhu Pandit read from, I believe it's Nectar of Devotion, or maybe it was some Nectar of the Holy Name. I couldn't hear what book he was reading exactly. But mention how chanting the Holy Name is enough, but even in a, because we have to chant it without offense. See, Ajamil chanted without offense. That was his saving grace. He wasn't doing any of the 10 offenses. He wasn't sinning on the strength of chanting, because he was unconsciously chanting. He might have been sinning, but he wasn't doing it with any tricks. This was in ignorance he was sinning. So somehow he got all these blessings, because he wasn't making any offense. But we make offenses sometimes to the Holy Name. And that's why the deity worship and following all the rules and regulations of cleanliness and deity worship can help us to be more conscious and to avoid committing offenses to the Holy Name. Although it's most important to chant, even more than the deity worship, but deity worship is important because we are not able to chant purely. So that worshipping the deity helps us to get a proper consciousness. Someone, Maharaji maybe needs Hindi translation. So, here we found all the acharyas. They really studied this point. You see, the acharyas, they're reading all the verses of the Bhagavatam, and each verse they are trying to understand what is the meaning. Every verse is filled with meaning. You see, sometimes it really hurts when you hear people say, today we're going to have a reading from the Bhagavatam. This is one of our Hindu mythology. It's not a mythology. This is a Purana, is a history. This is a history maybe from many millions of years ago, or even another period, another creation, or another yuga. Certainly it was in another yuga. But it's not imagination. Otherwise, all these great acharyas, Sridhara Swami, Veera Raghava Acharya, Vijay Dwaja Tirtha, very great acharyas, they have all given their commentary. They're not taking this as just a myth or a fiction. These are factual history of what happened. This illustrates in a practical example the power of the Holy Name. You see, when I was in Malaysia, that time the Hindu Samaj leaders came to see me, that how people are getting converted from Hindu Dharma, and they're using all these words that you're worshipping idols. Idol worship is prohibited in certain shastras of other religions, certain scriptures, holy books. But we say, well, this is not idol worship, this is a deity worship. It's not a false idol. And we shouldn't use the word idol, although it's become common vernacular, common language for Hindus to refer in English to the deity as idol. We commented earlier how this is all trick of the translators, who originally during the British Raj, They were translating all the Hindu Shastra using these type of words, which would eventually undermine one's faith in the veracity of the Vedas, by saying deities are idols, saying that Puranas are myths. These are not, you see, this is all diabolical. Vigrahas, in Sanskrit the word is Archa Avatar, incarnation of the Lord in a deity form, in a worshipable form. Worshipable deity, Prabhupada translated. Similarly, the Puranas are Itihasam, Purana, their history. They're considered Pancham Veda, they're the fifth Veda. You can imagine if you would call the Bible or Quran or any other such similar book as a myth or a legend, there would be riots and there would be fatwas and everything being cast. But the Hindus themselves, because of innocence and naivety of what these words mean, they often they just use it very casually. So in places where the Hindus are in minority and people know what the words mean, then they turn around and say, look at your own people are saying you're doing idol worship, so you are sinners and heathens and so on. And they're converting like that. So this is, we have to reanalyze the vocabulary, and in Krishna consciousness we are very careful to use the proper words that give the real meaning that we want to communicate. So we should understand this history of Ajamila is fact. It happened long ago, but it really happened. And this is our true history, and that's why all these great acharyas, that's why Vyasadeva wrote it, that's why Sukadeva Goswami spoke it, that's why Sutta Goswami spoke it, that's why the sages in Naimisharanya are hearing it, and that's why all these acharyas are studying it and giving their commentary. They're all taking it that this is a factual history, and they're trying to understand why did a sinner like Ajamila get liberated when he was only chanting his son's name, who happened to be now called as Narayana.
Narayana.
Then they analyze, well, it's because somehow or another by chanting the name of Narayana, knowingly or unknowingly, he got purified. He can't, even if he was calling the name of his son, but nonetheless he was thinking about the name of Narayan. And like this, somehow or another, by remembering Narayana, he got purified. Smarana samartam chitam bhaktya smarat. He got devotional consciousness. No, just by going on chanting the holy names of the Lord. So this is a very important story to understand the potency of the holy name. So if you go on practicing chanting, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Every time, right? Then when time of leaving this body comes, it'll be natural you will chant, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Says, and Sri Nectar of Devotion says that if someone suddenly get startled, or if they hit themselves, like hit their foot, stub their toe or something. If they just chant the name of Vishnu, they chant the name of the Lord, then that enough is, that alone is enough to deliver them back to the spiritual world. Such things have happened in history. So you can test yourself. If someone suddenly like that, hits their toe on something, do they chant, Oh Krishna! Or they chant, Damn! Ooh! Or some other, you know, oof! Things we don't mention even. Then, I mean, you fail the test, you see, this little mini test. It was a chance for you to remember Krishna. What if death comes like that? Will you remember Krishna? The people, they should be practicing in every spare moment. While they're cooking, they can go on chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. I was talking to one student. I said, why don't you chant some more rounds? He said, oh, I have no time. I had to spend 1 hour riding in the bus to school, 1 hour coming back. Then I had to study. I said, when you're riding in the bus, why don't you chant? What will the people think? What do you care what the people think? You go on chanting. Let them think what they want. You use the time. Otherwise, you're standing there, wasting the time. I didn't think about that. Like that, there's so much time in the day we could be chanting. Morning walks. Going to the... Any time we are traveling. And we can spare some specific time for good chanting in the morning. Rising early and chanting. To get quality chanting. But somehow or another, we should just use up every possible time we can with chanting and hearing. Someone, I have no time to read, Prabhupada said, you can listen to the tape of the Guru. You can listen to my tapes, my lectures. The tapes are there so people can hear. So even while they're working, they can go on listening to the message, isn't it? So, the point was, death is what? Death is a final exam. Somehow or another, Narayana Antasmriti, we can remember Krishna at the time of death. Then you get a pass, you automatically pass, you go back to Krishna. That's so we have to be ready any time. See, before in previous yugas, you could expect to die by old age. Nowadays, there's no guarantee. There's even with Ram, we know how in Krishna book, the Brahmana came and complained to Krishna, how is it my son died? Similarly, well, it also happened, and Padmarana Purana mentions how one Brahmana came and said, what is this? That my son died before I did? That means what kind of a king are you? This is, you are a useless king because your government is so disorganized that the son can die before the father. In other words, before the kings were so much in harmony with God and nature that nothing would happen in their kingdom out of the ordinary, which we cannot imagine today. This shows what our governments, what position. And Rama, he was very upset. He said, well, how could this be? And I had to find out the cause. So then he was advised that you go and tour your whole kingdom and you find out that someone is doing irreligious principles in the name of religion and therefore he's causing all this problem. So then he went and looked east, west, and finally he went on one side. And there he found there was a rishi with big hair and beard hanging from his feet from a tree over some lake. And he is doing, you know, big austerity. He said, what is it that you're doing, my dear sir? He said, I'm going to go to Swarga by force. I'm doing austerity that I go to Swarga. He says, who are you? I'm such and such person. And so, you're a Brahmana or, what are you doing actually? So he said, I'm a Sudra. And this is my purpose. I'm going to enter into heaven by force. I'm just hanging here until they're bound to take me. So then immediately Lord Ram went and chopped his head off. Now, because people misunderstand, he did it because he was a Sudra. It's not the real purpose. That is incidental. You see, as a Sudra, he had the tendency to speculate and not do according to Shastra. Because there's no, where does it mention any shastra hang from your feet from a tree until you get taken to Swarga? Because there's so many ways. If you want to go to Swarga, you come and do meditation, you can do deity worship, you can do pious activity. But hanging from the feet, and you know, just because you're doing so much tapasya, what's happening, it was like people were dying. It was creating a whole disruption in the karma of the kingdom. Here somebody is doing tapasya, which was irreligious. It was just speculative. As soon as that happened, then Lord, that child, the Leela goes on. The child regained his life. Agastya Muni and others helped, and Rama, to bring back the life of that dead child. That's what they said. When he brought the dead child, he said, keep the child in oil. Keep the body preserved. I'm going to find out the cause, and when the cause is cured, then we'll bring back the child to life. So they actually kept the body in oil so it wouldn't decay. And then after the cause was found out, that somehow this guy was doing these things, was causing brahmanas to pass off. Like that, there's so many subtle causes for death and for disease. It says in the court, in the name of God, when people vow, I speak the truth, nothing but the truth. I so solemnly swear on this holy shastra and so on. When they take such vow and then they go on lying. No, I didn't do anything. And they did it, right? And the judge, he gets, people, lawyers are lying. Maybe even the judge sometime is lying. So if all these things are going on, so the atmosphere becomes polluted and that creates plague to come down. Plague and diseases in the society. So it's all kind of subtle causes for problems. So we shouldn't do anything speculative. And we don't know when we're going to die. Just like now, there's no such thing that we can go to the Prime Minister and say, look at my son died, you bring him back to life. Nobody will even give you, maybe he'll give you 5,000 rupees from the Prime Minister fund, bakshish for your dead son. If it was due to some natural cause or something. Otherwise, you see, nobody can guarantee that I'm going to live to be 108. Every day, people are riding their two-wheelers, riding their three-wheelers, riding their four-wheelers, and they're meeting their end. Pedestrians are getting run over also. So we have to watch where we're going. We have to be very careful. And we have to know that any time we could leave this body. Therefore, we should be prepared. Narayana Anta Smriti. To remember Lord Krishna at all times. And those people who say, later, when I get old, they're foolish. What do you mean old? How long are you going to live? Old means you think that you're going to live till you're ripe old and die. What is the guarantee? At age of women are getting breast cancer, men are getting at over 40 prostate cancer. So many causes there are death that they don't have to wait till you get old. You can die anytime. People are smoking and dying left and right. Your neighbor is smoking, you're breathing the smoke, you're getting cancer and dying. So who is saying I'll chant later? You just write out, you tell him, you're a fool. What do you mean later? What is the guarantee you're going to live till you're old? You think this is Sati Yuga, everybody lives till they're, old? There's no such guarantee. Doesn't take time. All of a sudden the doctor tells you, oh, you've got 6 months, finished. If you're lucky, if you get a warning. So we hope everyone will take advantage and take a lesson from Ajamila. That how the holy name is so powerful, chant Hare Krishna, and you can be perfect, you can achieve all the perfection. Look at Ajamila was a rascal number one, even by chanting Narayana, he got delivered. You'll be even less of a rascal than Ajamila, and you chant Hare Krishna nicely, then naturally your success will be assured. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Keep up with your yajna. May Krishna Balaram Nitai Gaur Prabhupada give all the strength to everyone to serve them. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any question?
Not really contradictory. If one is actually being gradually awakened, then it's not a Sama Ivi Kevalam. Sometimes people might be sticking to a process which is not really dharma. In the name of dharma, or it may be dharma, but it might be a sub-religious principle. Just like being honest is a sub-religious principle. It's a part. It's not a dharma in itself. Not if you're just honest, that's a religion. But it's a quality of religion to be honest. But religion means your relationship with God. Dharma means your development of your relationship with Krishna. If you have just a series of sub-religious principles and no understanding and no consciousness and no relationship and knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then by doing all those things, you are still going to simply be in the karmas. You're not actually progressing out of the material world. You had to have some connection with the Absolute Truth, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the point. Sometimes people just stick to some idea, which might appear to, you know, have some relation with dharma. It might be, but it might only be a sub-religious principle, or it may be that one has already graduated. Just like someone that just goes in first grade, but they never graduate. Every year they go back in first grade. They never go to second grade. They just stick to the same thing. It's not some principles that are there to purify us, we go to the next grade. But some people, they just hold on, first grade, to the end. I'll never leave first grade. I love my first grade. Until I'm 100 years old, I'll be in the first grade primary school. Does it make sense? What is the use of going again and again and again to first grade? You go to first grade, finish it, you learn your A, E, U, or you learn your ABCs, or they go on to the second grade. So some religious principles are there to train us and bring us up to the next level. But if the person never goes on to the next level, then after a time you can say he's wasting his time. Or he's just putting in effort, but he's not going ahead. It's like someone's running the wheels, but they still, the brake is on. The car is not moving. You take off the brake, go ahead. You can say, okay, there's some benefit. He's not going back. At least he's staying in the same place. What does it say? It doesn't say he's falling. It said that you're putting energy, but you're not getting the fruit. You're not getting the fruit from that because you are not going ahead. So what is our progress? How we can measure our progress? How much we're developing our consciousness of God? How much we're developing our consciousness of Bhagavan? Our attraction to hear about Bhagavan is a personal test. Since, as you say, everything is meant to bring us to that end, and every practice we're doing is to gradually purify us and make us more attracted to serving and hearing about the glories of Krishna. So we can judge in our own personal consciousness, am I more attracted to serving Krishna than I am making progress? Am I more attracted to simply the sports and more attracted to the cinemas and more attracted to this and that? Then we know I'm still very neophyte. I had to get more association and build up my attraction to Krishna. So it's not really a contradiction. We have to see it from the right perspective. If you do even a beginning activity, you get a little more inspiration, you go to the next activity, next, so you're making progress. It's just when someone gets stuck up and they're not increasing in their, then they should know something is wrong. Somehow I'm like, you get in the mud and these wheels spin in the car and you don't go forward. For some reason they got stuck up. So the energy is being spent, but they're not making the progress from that point. So it's actually a very progressive statement that we should analyze our own progress and see that we are making progress. That could apply to people at different levels. Someone may be in a very neophyte or maybe even a little more advanced. We can get stuck up at any level. So we want to keep on progressing. And if we're not progressing, at some point we just get stuck at the same level, then we should be consulting with Guru and Shastra, and we should be seeing what is our problem. Even Vyasadeva asked his Guru Narada Muni, why I'm not feeling satisfied. Because if we are progressing spiritually, we should be satisfied. We should feel some inner satisfaction. So Vyasadeva wasn't feeling satisfied, and that is going to be described later on in the later chapters. That was also inspiration for Vyasadeva to write the Bhagavat Shastra, Bhagavat Puran. Because after writing all the Vedas, he wasn't feeling happy in his heart. Until he wrote Bhagavat, then he felt peace of mind. Of course, Lord Chaitanya recommended we should all worship Krishna. But if somebody is very much attached to another form of Vishnu other than Krishna, like Ram or Narasimha or some other form, then in some cases he would make exception when he saw that they are really sincerely attached to that form. But otherwise, if one does not have that kind of very strong fixation on a particular form, and they're open to more or less any form of Vishnu, then worship Krishna because that's the original form. But when we worship Krishna from this conditional state, we cannot imitate being one of his Brajavasi cowherd friends or anything. We cannot just immediately come and want to, you know, put our arm around the deity and go out with the cows, because that would be all artificial. So initially we approach the Lord, although we worship Krishna, but we approach him in awe and reverence. We approach him in a mood of service, as a servitor, in the mood of dasya. But we hear about the Krishna's pastimes, and we hear about his majestic aspects, his avatars, all the cantos of the Bhagavad tell about different incarnations. We hear about all the incarnations that have been scheduled. And we also hear about Krishna's own intimate pastimes, own revealed pastimes. And this way, then gradually we get attracted to the pastimes of Krishna, but we know that what Krishna is doing is not some mundane activity, because Krishna's pastimes are very much human-like. So if we don't know Krishna's position as the Supreme Vishnu, Ananta Devo, Ananta Vishnu, if we don't know that he's the Supreme Vishnu, then sometime we could get confused just if we hear about Krishna's pastime and think that, well, what he's doing is like a human being. We won't understand the inner significance of it. So therefore, first it's recommended that we know all about Vishnu Tattva, the basic essential factors, and then when we understand how Krishna is the Supreme Vishnu, we can understand that although he's doing these activities, he's stealing butter from the monkey. It's not that he's a thief. He's a proprietor of anything, what he can steal. But somehow monkeys have come, and there are great rishis and sages who have come in the form of monkeys, and he's playing and giving them the nectar of food from his own hand. But from his mother's point of view, oh, he's my little child, and he's stealing the butter, and what butter will be left for me to feed him? She also is simply concerned out of love. So she's chasing after Krishna, do you stop stealing the butter? And Krishna is running away and playing all these things. So you see, for very grave people, pundits, sometimes they can't figure out how God is running around stealing butter. But for the devotees, once they understand Krishna's position, naturally even they feel attracted by all these activities, because it shows how the Lord can also come down to a very personal, loving relationship with his devotees. He leaves off his majestic side, and he just becomes intimately connected with all his devotees and loving relationships. And that has got a very beautiful
attractive features, more beautiful than the features of Narayan. But if we make the mistake and think that Krishna is an ordinary human, you see, then we'll be a big aparadhi, an offender, and we'll fall down from our position. So not get that confusion and not misunderstand Krishna's position. Therefore, we are to worship in a awe and reverence until formally while we're in this planet. And that way, we're worshipping, in a sense, like we would worship Lakshmi and Narayan, although we're worshipping the form of Krishna and Balaram. But then we also remember Krishna and Balaram's pastime. We do Govardhan Puja, we do Janmastami, we do many Julan, Yatran, so many different pastimes. So in this way, gradually the devotees get attracted to this loving form of the Lord. This is the prescribed procedure. When one gets very advanced and in their devotional service, they naturally become attracted to serving Krishna in a particular mood, and that time they serve Krishna in the following some resident of Vrindavan. That's called Raganuga. But we don't artificially imitate that. We first start off at in sadhana bhakti, and then gradually these things develop by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Five rasas, of course, four of them are active and one is passive. The Guru, we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the Guru. We cannot directly approach Krishna, we have to go through the Guru. And since we are to worship the Lord first in the mood of Dasya, then as we develop, some people remain in Dasya. That's not like a material thing that one is better than the other in some mundane sense. The different devotees have got different relationship with the Lord. Someone's relationship may be Dasya, may be Sakya, may be Vatsalya, may be in servitude, friendship, parental, or conjugal. And we have to do our devotional service in this material world in any case in the mood of Dasya until such time as we are awakened to any other rasa, if we happen to have another rasa. So the Guru is the one who controls and guides and access the transparent via media for getting all these understandings. And he introduces us in the spiritual world to Krishna and to the associate that we are to assist. Hare Krishna. Thank you.